following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and Comcast.
It's a live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy inside the PNC Studios at Halas Hall. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are pleased to be joined by Bears linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski for the entire hour in front of a live audience of Bears season ticket holders. Give yourselves a big round of applause. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret. So the Bears in Philadelphia, after the game, had a chance to bond and spend a lot of quality time together because apparently there was a mechanical issue with Bear Force One, and they had to wait for Bear Force Two to come over from another city. So you're stuck on the tarmac with a whole bunch of your teammates for 3 hours after that game. What'd you do?
It really turned into a big lounge. You had guys playing cards, listening to music, socialize. I mean, it was like we were back at Halas Hall in the locker room.
Fun time for camaraderie, though, right there. You know, you get an opportunity, and it's kind of a weird time because you come off of a big loss like that, but that's sometimes when you need your closest friends the most, and you get a chance to either watch it on your tablet or just sit and talk about it. So it's kind of a bonding time you have to take advantage of.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of guys were watching on their iPad, talking plays, just what happened throughout the game. So, I mean, that was kind of a way to get that past us and really just bond after that.
How much time do you spend after a game, win or loss, kind of going over every single play in your head, looking at the video, and then how do you decompress after all of that?
Me personally, I'll watch it or after the game when I get home or on the plane, and I'll really think about it until the next day till we watch it as a team or as a unit, as a defense, and that's kind of where you put it to rest and get ready for the next week. But, I mean, every game, I'm sitting there thinking, replaying it in my head, at least all the time, at least that night. And then really that next day, you kind of put it to rest and get ready to work.
Who's your first phone call to that give their impression of the game to you?
Do I send out?
To me, it was always calling my brother as soon as I could get to a phone and just letting him give me a reflection to tell me how I did. You know, I mean, do you have that go-to person?
It kind of changes each week. Kind of go after the game, look at my phone, see who call or texted me, and then I'll start sending out calls. But, I mean, I'll talk to my dad a lot. I mean, he's kind of a neutral person. He'll tell me how it is.
Right.
I got a lot of friends who tune in and that have played football and have football in their background. So one of them.
Nick grew up in Pittsburgh. You can't help but live football 24/7 when you grow up in Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I turned, I think it was when I was 8 or 9. I mean, that's what everyone was doing. Everyone was playing football. All my friends. I mean, Friday nights. I mean, if you weren't playing the high school football game, you were there. So I mean, it was a big. And then obviously the Steelers. I mean, you had a lot of college teams were in the area. So I mean, it was big growing up.
You know, Tom, he wasn't a linebacker when he was playing high school football. Who was the big star on defense in Pittsburgh when you were a kid?
Growing up, I always watched Troy Polamalu as a safety.
Well, all right. So, Zach alluding to that, you played safety in high school. Was it the case that you were the best athlete on your high school defense, that you were the last line of defense to go anywhere, or did you eat yourself from a safety into a linebacker?
I ate myself into a safety into a linebacker once I got to college. Yeah, on purpose. It was on purpose. I came into West Virginia as a safety my first year.
Really?
Yeah, and then after that first year, it was pretty much like you're getting in the box, start gaining weight.
How were you killing it in high school as a safety? Because, you know, when you move up to a linebacker, it's kind of unusual that guys can go, you know, morph into that size and athleticism and have it all kind of work together for each other. Were you having, like, a man amongst boys type of opportunity back there?
In a way, I mean, in Western PA, I mean, you saw back then a lot of just pro-style offenses, a lot of run the ball, play action pass. I mean, it was kind of like a deep linebacker, really. But, I mean, we had some good athletes on the team. They would move me around, but, I mean, my primary position on defense was safety back then.
Any other NFL players that you played with in high school?
That I played with in high school? No. I mean, I played against a lot of NFL players in high school, but never none on my team.
So you're the big star from your town.
Yeah, I guess so.
But did you always feel, you know, I was also a fourth-round draft choice. You were a fourth-round draft choice. And, you know, we kind of don't know what's going to happen for us. Is it going to go good in second or third round, or are we going to linger to the seventh round? Right. But, I mean, did you always have that feeling that if everything, you know, continued to fall into place, that you mentally wanted to create that opportunity for yourself, or did it just kind of fall to you?
I mean, I always wanted to be in the NFL, but it really got kind of real for me probably my sophomore, junior year in college. I mean, that was always the goal, but, I mean, at the same time, I mean, I kind of had it in my back of mind that it may not happen. But when it really started to kind of, everything started to fall into place, that's when I'm like, it really came to be real.
What was the backup plan?
None.
Yeah, none. Go back to Pittsburgh and find a job.
But you majored in something. So what were you studying in case?
I was a business major at the time. I ended up switching into I had three minors at West Virginia, and then I started my master's degree in marketing. So I'm actually halfway through that. I haven't finished that yet, but I do plan on getting that finished up.
But the harsh reality of it is I think when you're determined to become a professional football player, you don't leave yourself an out. Because you don't want to have that. Because there's a lot of times, whether it's your rookie training camp or any time throughout your opportunity to play, there's always that one time going, man, maybe I can't. No. You can't live with that maybe in the back of your head.
Well, see, this is what fascinates me. Because you go to West Virginia as a safety. You probably dominated at the safety position when you were in high school, just to get to that point. Now, how did they go about convincing you, hey, you've got to change positions? First off, you have to change your body. Then you have to change positions. Were you accepting of this? What was that conversation? Who sat you down, and what was that conversation like?
Well, my freshman year at West Virginia, it was my redshirt year. We ran a 3-3-5, and I was kind of like that safety, kind of linebacker, yeah, hybrid guy. And then my second year, we got a new defensive coordinator. We switched to a more traditional defense, the 3-4, and I mean, it was pretty much like you're coming inside and you're learning how to play linebacker. Like, it was right after the season, starting to spring ball. So, I mean, I kind of had in the back of my mind, like, they were going to do that. I started gaining weight once I got there. But, I mean, once they came to me, I mean, I was all for it. I just wanted to play. So, it was any way to get on the field.
You know, I was watching you on punt protection, and you're playing right guard, my old position. You're pretty good. I mean, you have some traits that you could have, you know. I know you don't have the ability to eat yourself into being an offensive lineman, but did you ever have to play special teams in college? And did you know that was going to be your main avenue to contributions and to being on the field is going to be your opportunity to play special teams?
Yeah, I mean, I played special teams my first 3 years of college. I started my last 3 years of college, and even while I was starting my redshirt sophomore year, I played a little bit of special teams that year. The year before that, I mean, strictly special teams. But, I mean, I knew that, I mean, that's what I was going to have to do once I got to the NFL. I mean, be a special teams contributor and work my way in the field. I mean, I had no problem with that. I mean, like I said before, I mean, I just want to be on the field.
You know, I was looking, when you're on the punt protection team, the first thing you do is you set up, you kind of retreat grudgingly for 5 yards, get rid of the blocker, and then you run upfield 40-yard minimum, sometimes more, depending upon Patrick punt. Are you tired by the time the next defensive snap starts, or because of the transition on field of the offense coming on and everything, do you get a chance to get your wind back so you're fresh on play one? Because I always said, you know, that's a big job of the punt protection than going right on regular defense.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where, I mean, I'm kind of catch my breath on the move, but, I mean, there's usually enough time where I'm good. I catch my breath, and, I mean, a lot of times you get a TV timeout or something like that. So, throughout the game, it's not a problem. It's really a nice kind of way to warm up. I mean, just get some steps in you before you start a drive.
Tom, if he said, yes, I'm tired every time I do that, what would your reaction be?
Thing about it is just the whole, you know, adrenaline flow of the play and of, you know, that sometimes that's fatiguing in itself. But when I watch him do the run and then, you know, whatever his responsibility the next play, it's just tiring.
Got so many questions for Nick Witkowski. The Bears linebacker is here for the entire hour, including a college teammate of his who the Bears are expecting big things from eventually. We'll discuss next with the Bears inside linebacker Nick Witkowski in front of Bears season ticket holders live here at the PNC Studios at Halas Hall. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears, providing electricity, natural gas, and home warranty products to over 1 million customers across the country. Learn more about IGS Energy at IGS.com. We're live at the PNC Studios at Hallis Hall in front of our friends, Bears season ticket holders, still supporting the Bears through thick and thin. And that's what you got to love playing in this city, Nick. Nick Witkowski, our guest, the Bears inside linebacker, 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here, and I'm Zach Zaidman. What's it like when Soldier Field is rocking and you're out there, and it's usually rocking because they're trying to distract the opposing offense and you're out there defensively? How much does that help, and how much of an adrenaline rush is it when that's going on?
I mean, that's exactly what it is, an adrenaline rush. I mean, not only does it kind of throw offenses off, but, I mean, it gets the defense, really. I mean, just into it. I mean, it's almost – I mean, it's hard to describe, honestly. I mean, you're ready to go when you hear that. I mean, you know it's game time. You know it's a big situation that you need to come out on top.
Do you have to have, like, a kind of a language, a sign language or a language just looking at each other because of the – you can't have the verbal communication because of the crowd noise? Is there some way to get the assignments across the board without having to yell to these guys?
Yeah, there is. I mean, once it gets loud, I mean, you really can't hear much. I mean – you see guys trying to scramble to tell each other. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, there has to be kind of a known thing. I mean, that comes in practice, too. I mean, once you see a guy making a hand signal or something, I mean, you got to know what he's doing.
Do you have a preference of playing on the road where you can hear the quarterback or playing at home where you can't hear him?
Personally, I do not. I love playing at home. I mean, having the crowd on your side and not hearing him, but at the same time, it's nice to hear him. So, I mean, it's kind of indifferent to me.
You're one of five different inside linebackers to have the audio device inside the helmet this year, which is pretty amazing for any team. You know, it started with Jarrell Freeman, Danny Trevathan. You had it. Christian Jones, John Timu. Who's the smartest guy in the room?
Oh, I mean, that's a hard one.
Oh, man.
No, it is. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, our room, we all work together. I mean, we're all talking together. I mean, meetings on the field. I mean, that's one thing we do very well as linebackers in here. I mean, every day. I mean, working on the sidelines game day. I mean, we're one unit. I mean, it doesn't matter who's out there. We're all preparing the same.
Do you see it the same time that, say, the last couple of weeks you've been playing with Christian Jones alongside it? Do you see it the same time he sees it because you guys have both been trained the same way to relay the calls?
Yeah. I mean, we do. It's I mean, that comes with practice. I mean, we've played, I mean, I'm thinking last two or three games. I mean, you can see on film the more it is, I mean, the more we're in sync.
Is it going from college football to professional football, is it difficult to learn the terminology, understand what it means to everybody, and then use it during the course of a game? Or just because you hear it so frequently, does it just become the language of defense become second nature?
I mean, it takes a while, but it does become second nature. I mean, when I first got here, I mean, there was definitely some things. I was looking at the playbook like, what is this? Like, and, I mean, you take the time, you study, you watch the film. I mean, me personally, I mean, it was me kind of getting in there and messing up and kind of getting corrected that really got me to where I am to now.
Well, you have divisional games. You play the same team twice a year. There's a carryover from there. And then you have a team coming in like the 49ers this weekend that you don't see very often. They're making a change of the quarterback. So, analytically, you're not going to have a lot of information to go to because this is what the quarterback does in these down and distances, formations, so on. So is it more difficult for the preparation for this week because they're putting in a new quarterback, or is it kind of, I don't know, you kind of don't know what to expect, but you got to go with what the offense they've been running before Garoppolo got in?
Right. I mean, you go off of what they have been doing, but, I mean, as a defense, I mean, it's reaction. So, I mean, you kind of have to know in the back of your mind what their past tendency were, but at the end of the day, I mean, you got to play whatever you see.
Bears linebacker Nick Witkowski, our guest here on Bears All Access. You were college teammates with Kevin White, and I know there are a lot of people here, and unfortunately, here fans haven't had an opportunity to see him because of all the injuries. But you saw him. You understand why he was drafted as high as he was. Yeah. What's he like? What's he like on the field? When eventually he gets right, what's he like?
I mean, when I was with him at West Virginia, I mean, he was the go-to guy, our quarterback, whenever, I mean, he would just throw the ball to him, and he would go get it. There was no doubt that he wasn't getting the ball. But, I mean, as a player, I mean, he's a guy that can do it all. He can catch the ball short, run around the field, break tackles. He's strong. He's fast. And he's also the guy, I mean, you can throw the ball deep, and he can go up and get it. So, I mean, he brings a lot to the table. I mean, he's a great player.
What about the person? Because, you know, this has got to be really challenging on Kevin White, not necessarily the football player, but because he puts so much effort into it, and it's such a goal, it's got to be a goal of his to be on the field as an active player. Is this something that, you know, the challenge of overcoming this, is it getting to him, or is he just more determined to be successful?
He's a guy, he's really success-driven. I mean, it crushes him that he can't be on the field with us. So, I mean, I don't think it's affecting. I'm sure it's affecting him, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's going to do everything he can to get back on the field and be the best he can be.
You know, the thing that you keep hearing when you talk to people about him privately, they mention that at every stage of his football development, people counted him out. You know, because he didn't initially start at West Virginia.
Right.
He was somewhere in Pennsylvania on the other side of the state, right? Lackawanna,
yeah.
Where he was trying to make himself into a football player where these major schools would take notice, and they did. And then he goes to West Virginia, and he goes out, and people kind of doubted because of maybe the offense that you guys were running at West Virginia, and he lights it up at the combine, becomes a top 10 pick. And then here, you know, people have doubted him, whether it's because of the offense that he came from, the injuries. He's a tough guy. Everyone's always said he should have a plan B, but this is his plan A.
Right.
And I feel like the drive, that's the one thing you can't ever know about a player, is what drives him. And that's why when you said he's success-driven, when you have that kind of background and that type of mentality, it's hard to fail.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, taking these things, I mean, just being – just things that – challenges that you have to overcome. I mean, it makes you a stronger person. I mean, and you want to kind of get on the field and just prove what I mean, everyone that doubts you wrong. I mean, that's how a lot of people I've met in this league are, and I mean, he's definitely one of them.
Who were the linebackers? I know that you liked Polamalu when you were growing up in Pittsburgh, but once you made the move to linebacker, who were the guys that you tried to model parts of your game after?
I mean, it was at the time, it was a lot of guys at West Virginia. A guy, Najee Good, he was there a year before me. Casey Vance, he's a GA there now. I mean, just guys who played in that system at that time. And then as I progressed further, I started kind of transitioning and watching guys in the NFL. I mean, there was guys like Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, just a lot. I mean, just a lot. I try to really, Ryan Urlacher, I mean, just guys who have been very successful at position and that just kind of did it all at that position.
It's got to be fun to watch a guy like Luke Kuechly, because there's a lot of similarities between the two of you. You guys are both, you know, similar in size and everything, and, you know, it's about how quickly you read the opponent's offense and get to the ball. So, I mean, he's a fun guy to pay attention to, being a peer of yours and, you know, being similar in his accomplishments.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's had a lot of success in this league. He's a great player. I mean, he had success in college. I mean, he's really fun to watch as a linebacker. I mean, if you were watching him on film, I mean, it's a good guy to watch.
There are a lot of similarities between Tom and Brian Urlacher. Years ago, we were in Dallas. You're going to love this story. We're in Dallas. Tom and I are taking the elevator. We're going from the press box down to the field. And then on one of the floors, Keyshawn Johnson, who was playing for the Cowboys at the time, walks into the elevator, just looks at Tom, kind of nods and goes, "What's up, Urlacher?"
Thinking I'm walking around the Dallas Stadium before kickoff and stuff.
And then all of a sudden, what do you see? Brian Urlacher grows the hair out, because I don't think he liked the comparison.
Well, if I was younger, I'd probably do it myself. So, you know, I don't know if Nick's ever going to be a candidate for hair replacement.
I hope not.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. More with the Bears linebacker, Nick Kwiatkowski. It's Bears All Access in front of season ticket holders live here at the PNC Studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Travel to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic in February with Apple Vacations and your favorite Bears, including Akeem Hicks and Anthony Adams. Visit applevacations.com/Bears for more info. We're live at the PNC Studios at Halas Hall in front of Bears season ticket holders for a live edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Nick Kwiatkowski, our guest for the hour, the Bears inside linebacker. And I mentioned Akeem Hicks's name, and I guess it's a good place to start, because after the game in Philadelphia, Akeem said that he addressed the team, that he felt it was important for him to say a few things to the locker room. What was his basic message to you guys?
I mean, basically, just move on, and, I mean, next week's a new week, and that there's still work to be done, and we're not changing anything. We just got to put in more work. I mean, it was pretty solid message. I mean, kind of spoke to the whole team as one.
Defensively, you guys know, I think, that there's a higher level of performance that you can reach. How important is that over the next 5 weeks to kind of spearhead this and flip things around after this losing streak?
I mean, it's very important. I mean, a lot of things can happen in those next weeks. I mean, a lot of things can carry over. So, I mean, it's just important that we keep doing what we're doing, keep coming to work each day, and, I mean, trying to get better.
You have to have a positive attitude getting ready, though, during the course of the practice week, because it seems like you understand the information well enough to go game plan to game plan, but it's all about your attitude coming out of the locker room. And I think, the change of venue with you guys coming out of the locker room at home gives something the crowd to build on, and then all of a sudden, you know, you feel the excitement of, you know, the stadium and the crowd and everything. But, game plan week in and week out is not going to change a lot. It's about the attitude and effort that you come out of the locker room with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they're going to put us in the right calls. I mean, it's definitely a huge thing with the attitude. I mean, that's it takes preparation as well. I mean, that starts early in the week as well. I mean, you got to come into practice each day. I mean, trying to get better, trying to get ready to work. And, I mean, just taking it day by day and not kind of looking ahead. But, I mean, as for the attitude part on game day, I mean, that's huge. I mean, an attitude can change the course of a game.
From your first season where it seems like it's never going to end to the other seasons that you play and they go by so quickly, does this season seem like it's going by equally as quick, or does it seem like there is a little bit of a slower process to it because some of the growing pains you're going through?
This season, I mean, it seems quicker than last season for me. I mean, last season, I mean, not so much time-wise, just the way my body felt, the way just going through that combine prep, senior bowl prep. Right. I mean, I felt like I didn't have a break for a year. So, I mean, that part of it kind of took.
You kind of don't, you know. Yeah. You get ready for your college season. You play the whole season. There's no time off. It's immediately from the last day your college season ends, you're getting ready for the biggest picture of your life. So,
right.
You know, it's like everybody kind of wants to see what's Nick Kwiatkowski going to look like after he has an off season to dedicate to just yourself rather than preparation to try to get into the NFL.
Yeah, so we played January 2nd, my last game in college, at the bowl game in Arizona, and I was working out in Arizona on Monday.
Right.
So there was no break, nothing. I mean, I was right into it and then did all the preparation, then, I mean, draft, got a week and came right to Chicago.
When did you change more, getting ready for last year's combine or maybe the this off season where you had a little bit of time to just dedicate to yourself and the things you need to improve on, the strengths you need to improve on? So is there a big difference between the second version than the combine prepared Nick Kwiatkowski?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, during that time last year, I mean, you're training for a 40-yard dash, how many reps on the bench press. So it's a little bit different training than actual football training. So that definitely plays a factor in it. So I would say the second season, the second kind of off season you get is definitely where you improve more on the football aspect.
I always think players, when they go out and run the 40, they'll never run the 40 that fast again throughout the rest of their career because you change so much. You learn more about football. You learn more about training. Mm-hmm. But it is. You see, like, everything, you know, your whole future is going to be judged on that 4 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you come in every day. And, I mean, you're working on the stance. You're working on the steps. I mean, I haven't done that since I ran that 40 back then. So.
Yeah, there's a difference when the pads come on and you're playing at football speed as opposed to, what does Foxy call it, underwear speed, whatever you have to wear there at the combine. So I want to switch gears here completely because the only city on planet Earth with a greater Polish population than Chicago is Warsaw. So what's it like for Nick Kwiatkowski to play in Chicago?
I have the last name for it, so I mean it's great. I've gotten people in the Polish community reach out to me. I threw the first pitch at the White Sox game for Polish night.
How'd you do?
It was a strike.
Was it? Oh, very
oh,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not messing around.
So I mean, a little baseball in my background, but I mean it's great. I mean great support from that community, so it's been awesome.
Mulwini po polsku. Is there any Polish in the? Can you have a conversation with anybody in Polish?
No, I speak zero Polish.
Now, when you're out and about, do you get a lot of that from people who think that you probably know a little Polish and want to make a big deal about that?
Surprisingly, no. I hope it doesn't happen because I won't be able to respond.
So is your nickname always been Quit? Or, you know, it seems like every Polish guy that I ever grew up with, we always ended up calling him Ski. So, just like they could for you, have you always been a Quit?
Yeah, I've been a Quit since college. So, I mean, it kind of carried over. I mean, with Kevin calling me quit once I got here, carry over was smooth.
See, there you go.
Well, you know, you grow up with these guys. It's like Jay Hilgenberg. I don't think anybody's ever called him Jay Hilgenberg. It's always Hilgy. I mean, 100% of the time, everywhere you go, no matter how old you get, and that's what I would imagine that would come with Nick Kwiatkowski.
Quit is easy, though.
It goes right with it.
It rolls off the tongue. And the irony is you're anything but a quitter on the field. I mean, it's – although that's with a Q. Whatever. The point is – and I bring up the Chicago thing because you're going to be out in the community on Monday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7 o'clock, p.m. to p.m., at Toys Etc. in Chicago. You're going to be hosting a special collection for the annual Care for Real Toy Drive. What's that about?
Yeah, so, I mean, just wanted to get out in the community. I mean, wanted to partner with someone in Chicago, someone trying to help out. I mean, this is a great opportunity that came to me. I mean, getting out in the community, especially around the holiday season, I mean, it was important to me, and I just thought that this was a perfect kind of partner, a perfect event just to hold.
Especially when you see the kids, the way they react to football players on game day and stuff, and the other events that you get to go out through throughout the season. You know, that's, you want to brighten up their day more than anything else, and I think it's a great opportunity for you to get that in. You know, and I think that's a unique quality about the Chicago Bears is the players get into their community and the communities get into the players, and this is just something to benefit the kids in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm excited for it, like you said, Monday. I mean, it's just a great opportunity, like you said, for me to get in the community, and then just, I mean, they support us on game day, so I want to give back.
To learn more about Care for Real or to donate, visit careforreal.org, and Nick will be at Toys Etc. in Chicago Monday, December 4th from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. for the annual Care for Real Toy Drive. What's the most popular question you get from kids?
I get standard ones. I mean, what's it like to be an NFL player? How do you pronounce your last name is a big one. things like that.
Because it's not spelled the way it's pronounced.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It probably took you a while to learn how to spell it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I think it was third grade when I could actually spell it.
That's funny. All right, Nick Kwiatkowski is our guest. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. A lot more to discuss with the Bears inside linebacker live from the PNC Studios at Hallis Hall in front of Bears season ticket holders. It's Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Christmas is coming early to the brand new Xfinity store in Arlington Heights this Saturday. Meet Bears alumni Lance Briggs from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at 324 East Rand Road in Arlington Heights and enjoy some holiday football fun courtesy of Xfinity. We're enjoying some football fun here at the PNC Studios at Hallis Hall in front of Bears season ticket holders on this live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy 85 Bear the Champion. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We've been joined the entire hour by inside linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski. I start thinking about, speaking of champions, how many different quarterbacks that you guys as a defensive unit have faced this season, quarterbacks that have led teams to a Super Bowl. It started with Matt Ryan. There's Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Joe Flacco. And then you had, this game coming up, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's probably been to as many Super Bowls as most of those other quarterbacks, and he's watched Tom Brady do it. I mean, it's got to be really – I think you guys have played the most difficult schedule to date.
When you take things into consideration, you know, you play Tampa the second game of the year, a noon start, when it's like 200 degrees, and – just everywhere where you played him, when you played him, it's been a difficult schedule and difficult opponents.
And then you had Carson Wentz and that Eagles offense. Which one was the most challenging offense when you were actually out there on the field this season to face?
That's a hard question. I mean, they all bring different things to the table that make – they all do different things that are challenging for a defense to stop and things like that. I mean – they do. I mean, it changes up each week. So, I mean, it's a hard question to answer. I mean, because offenses and defense, I mean, they change every week. So, I mean, it's hard to pick a certain one.
So, you have Carson Wentz, who's been around for a small period of time. Then you have Aaron Rodgers, who's been in the same system forever. There's got to be a difference when you go and you watch the tape of the quarterback as he approaches the line of scrimmage. There's got to be 1,000 differences between a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's been there and a guy like Carson Wentz who's developing. Or is it something that we see differently, or is it something that you guys see differently between the two quarterbacks like that?
I mean, I think it depends on the system they're in, for one. But, I mean, there is, I mean, there's definitely noticeable things. I mean, sometimes they're harder to pick up on. But, I mean, there's definitely is a noticeable difference in people. I mean, guys who've been in the same system for year after year after year, and then a guy who's, I mean, new to a system or a second year in a system. But, I mean, Carson Wentz, I mean, he's a guy, I mean, I think Akeem mentioned it. I mean, he's from last year to this year, I mean, there's a big difference for him.
Did you notice that, like, last year you had a chance to play him, too. From when you watch a, I don't know if you watch tape from one year to the next or just the last couple of games that Philly has played, do you see a lot of differences in his game over 1 year period that maybe that's what you see in the future for a guy like Trubisky? Or, you know, is it just you're paying attention to the Eagles and you're not really looking at that element of it?
I mean, you're not really looking at it, but I mean, it is noticeable though. I mean, just kind of the mannerisms, the confidence, just they're opening up their playbook more. Different things like that you can look for, but I mean, there's definitely a difference from year to year.
The thing that stands out, just being on the sideline, Wentz is as big as – he's probably bigger than you. You know, so you have these guys, and he can move. That's the element. When you have these quarterbacks that can get out of the pocket and still make plays and mow somebody down because they're just big, it's a brand-new element that I don't think the NFL has seen.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you play a mobile quarterback, I mean, it kind of adds a whole different factor to the offense. I mean, When you play a quarterback, they're able to extend plays, whether on their feet or just in the getting outside of the pocket. And, I mean, it kind of brings, a whole new element. I mean, it's just important to really just play the play out. I mean, if you're manned up or zone, you see a guy, I mean, make sure you match him because, I mean, he could take off. I mean, guys who extend plays make it hard for defenses.
You know, that's one thing is Carson Wentz, sometimes he's got to use his mobility to bail out himself out of a play that he doesn't know too well. It's frustrating for us when we watch a guy like Aaron Rodgers when he extends a play and then also takes advantage of somebody downfield that he recognizes or with his accuracy and stuff. So it's different to see the young and developers like Mitchell Trubisky and Carson Wentz as opposed to the other guys that they do different things with the time that they create in there. And Carson Wentz, he's taking some shots, but he's really doing a lot for his offense.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, on film, you can see him taking the shots. I mean, like you said, he's a guy that gets out of the pocket and gets downfield. But, I mean, there's definitely some things that we've seen on film and things he did to us where you had to watch him or watch receivers going downfield for him to extend that play.
You know, I was talking with one of your teammates on the defensive side of the ball. This was a few weeks ago. And he was mentioning that because you have a decorated defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio, that he has the ability to kind of, and maybe it's just over his years in the league, but I think it's also just instinctive. He kind of knows what the quarterback is going to do in a given situation. I think sometimes better than that actual quarterback is going to. It's got to be such a major advantage when most of the time, when you know you're getting that call, if you just listen to him, you're going to put yourself in a position to succeed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a defense, I mean, we have total confidence in coach putting us in the right call. It's just on us to execute that call.
That's what kind of makes me think about this week, because you talk about preparation of you know who's going to be there, but then you know who's going to be there, but you don't know how he's going to react to the other 10 guys around him, you know, and you can't sit here and ask you to divulge secrets of what your preparation is like, because I think there's as many question marks in the Bears fan of how Jimmy Garoppolo is going to react to his new surroundings as we are as fans getting ready for the Bears to play the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where, I mean, we're going to go off past couple games or go off, I mean, just the past 49ers offense. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's all about reacting and seeing what's going on and playing throughout the course of a game.
This week, an encore edition of Inside the Bears here from Adrian Amos and how he and Eddie Jackson are supporting the Bears at safety. And the team gets the red carpet treatment at a special screening of the movie Justice League. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW 50 Chicago and Sundays at 11:05 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. And I just mentioned two of the young players on the core. You're another one, Amos, Jackson, you, Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks. It's got to be exciting to think of where you guys, if you can get everybody healthy on the field at the same time, and now that you've got most of these guys have a couple of years of experience within the system, what this defense can eventually be. Can you envision what this is going to look like in a couple of years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see guys, I mean, gaining experience throughout just a single year since I've been here last year. I mean, And, I mean, you see what kind of people are molding into. But, I mean, it's hard to kind of look past where we are at now. I mean, right now we're just trying to, I mean, focus on the 49ers, preparing, and really just focus, putting all our focus and effort into that game. So, I mean, it's definitely in the back of my mind where you can see what's going on. But, I mean, it's important just to focus one thing now.
All right, we'll ask you about the 49ers coming up. It's Bears All Access with Nick Kwiatkowski live in front of Bears season ticket holders here at the PNC Studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is orchestrated by CDW. CDW, people who get it. And we're in front of a whole bunch of people here, Bears season ticket holders here at the PNC Studios at Halas Hall. A live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Nick Kwiatkowski, the Bears inside linebacker, our guest. It's a big deal for Tom. During breaks, he signs autographs, and whoever the guest is, in this case you, Nick, Tom grades the autograph by the player that's down here. It's very important to him. What's the key to a perfect autograph?
Just take time. Give your signature so that people can read it. You know, and one of the examples I always give to people, if you ever go back, the generations and the history of Bears fans, if you ever go back and look at an autograph given by Gale Sayers, and you imagine this guy's a Hall of Famer, legend, it's beautiful. His signature is perfect each and every time he signs it. So the people come out here and they appreciate the opportunity to meet the Bears, and I always give these guys a hard time if they just scratch off their name and go to the next person, write it so they can read it. But, you know, there's guys like Nick Kwiatkowski that you can kind of show what the name is rather than having to do it perfect each and every time. So, you know, Nick is a little bit of a break.
Do you put your number down on it after, like, Nick Kwiatkowski, number 44? Is that a big deal for you?
You got to. Your number's hot.
I usually do. I mean, that's part of it. It's kind of habit now, but just putting the 44.
How'd you end up with 44? Did they give it to you when you got here?
Yeah, they just gave it to me. I mean, that's kind of how I've always been for my state. They give me a number, and I wear it. So, I mean, that's not changing it now.
It's right? Hard to get a 50 linebacker number in Chicago. You talked about Gale Sayers, Tom, but this city is a city known for great linebackers. And Singletary had 50. Butkus had 51. Then you have Urlacher with 54. You know, Bill George.
Urlacher has an awful autograph.
Really?
Yeah. It is so sloppy for a guy. And it's going to get even sloppier because he'll be in the Hall of Fame. And then he'll have more to sign. Then they'll ask him to sign Hall of Fame after it. So maybe it just goes along with the position.
See, I think autographs are old school, though. I'm not going to criticize Brian Urlacher's autograph. He's bigger than me. But I think that today, at least from what I've noticed, the selfie is a bigger deal than the autograph. Like when you're with kids, do they want your autograph or do they want the selfie?
It's a mixture. I mean, it's definitely, the selfie is definitely getting more popular though.
But, you know, I think the Bears and the Bears fans and the Bears have a different relationship. So if you're there and you have that second to sign something, just take your time, you know. And some of them are going to be sloppy, but I just have pride in the guys that have been with the Bears before me, and it'll come after me.
All right, take us inside the linebacker room, especially with the inside linebackers, because, you know, we mentioned earlier, all smart guys. There's a lot of personality in that room. Danny Trevathan comes back on the practice field today, and you can just tell it's been bothering him that he can't be out there with the guys. Give me a little snapshot on each guy in that room and what they're like behind closed doors, because we only see the player on the field. You get to see the guy inside the locker room, the personality, the jokesters, the serious guys, all that kind of stuff.
We're all pretty similar. I would say Danny's definitely the jokester of the group. But, I mean, it's a good time in there. I mean, we're a close group. I mean, like I was saying before, we all work together preparing. I mean, we hang out together outside the field. So, I mean, overall, I mean, it's a close group. But, I mean, it's hard to kind of pinpoint each person's personality. I mean, it's –
Trevathan's the leader of the group, though, right?
Absolutely.
By far and away.
Does Christian Jones smile a lot? Jones has the nickname Cheese because he's always smiling.
Yeah, he definitely lives up to that nickname.
And he's confident now, too, because he's a guy that's really taken his game to the next – like, you can see how – he gets it. He gets all the nuances that you need to have success playing inside linebacker. That's fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he's done a great job this year. And, I mean, he's definitely – I mean, he was a guy – I mean, I've watched him play outside backer and middle backer. So, I mean, he's a guy that bounced around. I mean, great athlete. I mean, he brings a lot to both linebacker positions.
A guy we don't talk a lot about, but I think he may be the smart – and you guys, again, it's a smart group, but he may be the the coach that's wearing a uniform in that. You know who I'm talking about, right? John Thiem.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Tom, he's not active for every game. And this is how I figured that out. When he wasn't active, he's standing right by the coaches, and he's watching it like a coach out there on the field. And then he'll come to you guys and give you little tips on the things. He can see it before most people can. That's a special trait.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy. I mean, he's very instinctive. I mean, he's a smart football player. And, I mean, that goes along with, like I was saying before, I mean, just preparing together. I mean, we're all working together. I mean, come game day, whether active or inactive, I mean, that plays a huge part in our room. But, I mean, John Thiem, he's definitely one of the smarter football players I've ever played with.
You know, and I like the fact that Vic Fangio and the defensive personnel, they use them all. Because you guys will come in here in a standard defense. You and Christian Jones will be on the field. And then they'll come in and they'll have that four-down defensive lineman and John Thiem will play the linebacker spot. I like the fact that all you guys are being used because I think it adds life to the linebacker room. Because everybody has a responsibility rather than one guy sitting over there and getting no reps. But now here's a way to use him and kind of include them in the importance of the just the game day participation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, like you said, huge for just, I mean, just having responsibility, I mean, in the preparation too. But, I mean, it really, I mean, whether people, like I said, inactive or active, I mean, we're all kind of on the same page no matter what.
What's Glenn Pyers like? He's the inside linebackers coach. And we were talking with Cheese Christian Jones a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned that the guy's got the baritone voice. You know, it's as though his voice was made to come through the speakers inside your helmet for whoever's wearing the audio device, that little green dot in the back. And because he's got such a deep, soulful sound, right?
Yeah, I mean, when he comes through, when he comes through the microphone, you can definitely understand what he's saying.
But he's a guy who's been around a long time. You know, the public doesn't get to see him. What's he like as a teacher?
I mean, he's a great teacher. I mean, he's done a lot for me for my last year, 2 years here. And he's a great coach, great guy. I mean, I've enjoyed this time with him.
You know, the reason I bring it up is your first year with the Bears, you know, you talked about how you went straight from playing in a bowl game to training for the combine. But unfortunately, you know, early on you got hurt in training camp with the hamstring injury. And that set you back in terms of what you could do physically. What did you use that time, other than rehab, what did you use that time to get yourself acclimated to?
I did a lot of studying, a lot of time in the playbook. And that's really all I could do. I mean, when you're not out there getting the reps, I mean, the best thing you have is watching the film and kind of picturing yourself in there during the practice, during the game. So, I mean, that was the only thing I really could do. So I just put extra time into that.
But what can you learn to make you a better football player? Is just things that you learn things and know them quicker, and so that helps you react faster on the field? Or, like, how do you translate studying to activity?
I mean, at that time, I mean, I was new to the playbook, so I was really just trying to learn the playbook. But, I mean, as for watching the film, I mean, you kind of put yourself in those positions. I mean, defense is all reaction. So, I mean, you put yourself in a situation, give yourself a play call, whatever it may be, and just kind of watch the film and see how the offense runs it and how it comes off, and you can really picture yourself in there. I mean, it definitely goes a long way for when you're actually healthy or actually active playing. I mean, you've kind of been there before.
Well, you know, when you go back on the field, now you're calling defenses for the very first time after an injury. Is it like one of those dreams that we have of being in school and not being prepared for a test that you almost forget everything? Or is it that you've been studying things so much that it's clear to your mind, you know exactly what you're saying, and then how to react towards what you just said?
Yeah, I mean, it gets clear in your mind. I mean, definitely, I mean, that's what practice is for, kind of getting that out of the way, the studying part. So, I mean, there's times in practice you mess up, but, I mean, try to get that eliminated before game day.
So are you dead serious in practice, especially when you have to make the calls?
To an extent. I mean, we have a good time at practice. I mean, but there is a serious factor too. I mean, we're there to get work done. But, I mean, there's also a funny or just joke around, I mean, kind of things. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's work time.
Because the reason I bring it up is I think one of the real challenges of getting to that next level as a player is being able to understand, okay, what's my defensive coordinator thinking as he's thinking before you even get the call? And then kind of understanding we're going to be in this situation in a certain point of the game. This is how this offense is generally going to look to attack that defense, and just kind of knowing all that stuff quickly. It takes time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you do it with film study. I mean, kind of just, I mean, watching practice film, I mean, kind of seeing what the offense is running and what our call is to that. I mean, that all helps it. I mean, you kind of got to do that before you practice. I mean, you practice 3 or 4 times before a game. I mean, get acclimated to it and really get a feel for it. I mean, that's film.
What's your goals for the rest of the season here? You know, because the Bears have a lot on the line. The players have a lot on the line. They have to rebound from the performance in Philly. But individually for you to finish up the season on a high note, what would that mean for Nick?
My goal, just to stay on track. I mean, being injured earlier in the season, I mean, that's been my goal since I got back, is just continue getting better and improving each week.
That's got to be – I think these are realistic, and we haven't even talked about what happened in Tampa Bay. I mean, that was a significant injury that we didn't realize it at the time, but it was listed as a pec, but, I mean, it affected your entire body when you got hurt.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I couldn't do anything for that amount of time. So, I mean, it's definitely – I mean, getting back into it slowly, I mean, it took some time.
And you've been able to take advantage of it ever since being able to come back on the field. 5 games to go. Good luck the rest of the way, Nick.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, Tom, any words of advice?
No, just keep working hard, practicing hard, being keep mentally sharp. Physical errors will get you coached. Mental errors will get you cut. So yeah, that's why you got to stay in the playbook.
They say everything on defense is contagious, including the takeaways. I'm looking for kind of what you guys did in October. A little bit more of those takeaways, score a little on defense, kind of chip in. There's an opportunity here over the next 5 games. Nick Kwiatkowski, thank you so much. Want to thank our fans, the Bears season ticket holders here at the PNC Studios at Halas Hall. 485 Bear Tom Thayer and Bears inside linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski. I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Chicago Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and PNC.